Hello, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City. I'm here every week talking about the mental side of sports. And as you know, I've been in practice for 40 years as a sports psychologist and had the privilege to receive my PhD July 31st, 1981. So just beginning my 40th year now of work. And you know, throughout my career, I've met a lot of people. I've dealt with a lot of things. We talk about a lot of issues like sport, the mental side of sports on this show, self-confidence, attitudes, focus, preparation, how we deal with parents, with coaches, with success, with failure, with mental health. And as we're getting started here with schools opening back up again, thank goodness, we're at a place now where athletes, young athletes, are able to go back to school and start playing sports again. One of the things that happens when you play sports is you get hurt. And it's funny, years ago on a show I did, it was not a sports psychology show, it was a generic psychology show, I interviewed some people who were overweight, and one lady said, you know, I don't exercise because people who exercise get hurt. And I said, well, but don't you take care of yourself physically? She goes, no, I just like to sit on a couch and eat bags of Lay's potato chips, and I don't like to glisten because people who exercise glisten. I thought that was a very odd statement. Yeah, people who compete and are athletic can get hurt. They push themselves mentally and physically to succeed. Sometimes injuries happen that are more severe than others. One of the things that we've become much more knowledgeable about over the past several years is the topic of concussions and dealing with concussions, treating concussions, working with them. And joining me today is an expert in this. His name is Dr. Evan Miladinoff. I've known him for a number of years. He is a chiropractor in the Kansas City area, one of the most experienced chiropractors around. And he's done extensive research and treatment on hundreds and hundreds of people with concussions. So, Evan, thanks for joining me today.
Great to be here, Doc.
You know, give us a little bit of history about your background, because you really have a quite dynamic background in this.
Well, thanks for having me again. And probably the best thing is, as a young athlete, I lost a college scholarship in track and field because I had shin splints. And nobody could fix me. I ended up going to a chiropractor. Now, we're talking in the 60s. Went to a chiropractor who used acupuncture on me and got me better. So that was kind of like the beginning of my journey. It was like, this is pretty cool stuff. How do I learn how to do this to help other athletes, even though I kind of missed a shot? But I was able to go to two Olympic trials, one in track and field in 1968, and then one in the sport of sprint, canoe, and kayak in 1976 while I was a student at the Chiropractic College in Canada. Well, the end result of that was I ended up being the team doctor for the Canadian national canoe team in 78, 79. Should have gone to the Moscow Olympics, but we all know that
should have a lot of people.
Should have, that's as a lot of people. Fortunately, I didn't have the emotional scars that the athletes did, but my wife would probably disagree with that.
Hold on one sec. Let's talk about that for a minute, because this is a show about psychology and I talk about mental health on here. To train, to prepare for something like the Olympics, which we're dealing with now, with last year the Olympics being canceled. Of course, now they're going on in Tokyo. But what was that like to you know, you put your mind, soul, body, your spirit, everything into training for something like that, and it gets taken away from you for something you had nothing to do with?
Well, to that point, I didn't make it to the Olympic team, but I left it all out in the field. I came close, but so I have no regrets that way. But you know, when you are in the pipeline to be selected as a physician, like how do you compete to be a team doctor for where there's no, at that time there was no chiropractors, there was only minimal medical staff on the Olympic teams, as you know, when you were in the LA Olympics, and so like how do you compete to be a doctor on a team as opposed to being an athlete on a team? So It was a little bit different, but I still carry two things. I carry the dream of, I still think I'm going to be on an Olympic team, even though I'm like approaching 70. This virus was planted in me by my first coach that I just have this love for the Olympics. Now, again, my wife would say, you know, you're living in the 60s and 70s. The Olympics are not the same as when you grew up. And there's more politics, there's more money, and there's more a bunch of other stuff. But, you know, I carry that spirit with me, the spirit to succeed, the spirit to do the best I can. And, yes, part of me is still, gosh darn it, I should have been in Moscow.
But some of those athletes that you knew then, how did they react to that and deal with that?
Oh, that was tough for a lot of them. Now, fortunately, in Canada, they had – it's not the same, but it's kind of the same. They had the Pan American Games, as we do here in the U.S., so it was a huge international competition, certainly not on the scale of the Olympics.
And those are the year before the Olympics.
Usually a year or 2 years. You know, they've moved them all around over the decades. So some of them were able to do that. Some of them – one of them actually became my associate as a chiropractor. He was able to go – to the Pan American Games in Australia, and then he decided that he wouldn't go to the 1984 Olympics because it was like, you know, he could start his career as a doctor or take two more years to continue his event. To this day, I'm sure it scarred him. It's left a big void in his life. You know, that something was taken from him that could never be replaced. At least, you know, now, Tokyo 2020, it was moved back a year, but they could still go. Yes, there's certain, you know, circumstances of, you know, they got to be healthy and they got to do all these testing and get all that stuff, but they could still hang. It's easier to hang in there for a year as opposed to we're never going, we're boycotting. So, yeah, there was quite a few people that I'm sure to this day have emotional scars and trauma from not even being able to go. Can you imagine spending your whole life for... You know, you get to throw a discus like three times and like you don't get to do it, or you get to do a sprint for 11 seconds and you don't get to go do it. Or like in my sport, sprint canoe kayak, you could go for like 2 minutes in your race and you don't even get to go do it. But you've spent 12 to 20 years trying to get ready. So,
well, and that's the thing, that something like that's taken from you, not because of anything you've done. And I know currently we've got, you know, all these people competing in Tokyo in the Olympics, many who would have been are not there because after what happened last year, a lot of them decided not to go any farther. 2020 was going to be the end of it. Now, a lot of people kept their training up. They wanted to move on their lives, go on after swimming or after track and field or after cycling or whatever it might be. And they had to, you know, to make a decision. Do I keep training? Because the sacrifice and the commitment and the time that's put into that is so incredible. And, of course, along with that comes injuries, and we're going to talk today about how you help people deal with these injuries, specifically about concussions. You know, the topic of concussions has become an extremely highly talked about issue now, more so than ever before. And we're seeing more and more treatments, more and more ways to deal with it. Basically, Evan, if you could, before we go to our first break here, tell people what is a concussion, because a lot of people aren't even really sure what it is.
That's a really great question. Okay, so there are a couple of myths. So the first myth is you have to hit your head to get a concussion. And the answer is no, you don't. The majority of concussions happen without even hitting your head. So if you do a YouTube search of Eric Lindros, L-I-N-D-R-O-S, a successful hockey player.
Played mostly for Philadelphia.
Mostly for Philadelphia. He was always a big kid. So there's one rule in hockey, you keep your head up. Well, he was such a massive kid and a massive man that he could roll over people like a bowling ball rolling over pins. So he never picked up his head. Nobody, you know, clocked him, so to speak, until Scott Stevens hit him. And he came across the blue line. This was in a Stanley Cup playoff game. He had his head down. Scott Stevens put his shoulder to chest, hit him cleanly. So if you watch that video clip, it's about a minute along, you see his head whip forward and backwards, and he was unconscious before he hit the ice. So his head didn't hit anything. But what happens is your brain is like a bowl of Jello inside your head, and it'll get sloshed back and forth inside your head. And when it hits the bones on the inside, you get swelling and blood supply problems happening and a whole bunch of things that we can talk about.
Yeah, when we come back from this first break, I want to get into that and explain what concussions are, and then we'll get into the treatment of it. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. My guest today is Dr. Evan Mladenov. He's a chiropractor here in Kansas City, one of the most experienced people I've ever met in terms of dealing with concussions. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Perfect. Yeah, just we have to be out just on the...
Yeah.
Okay. Ready? Yeah, you'll get on. You'll be on your bike in time.
No worries.
Hello again, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. Today I'm talking with Dr. Evan Miladinoff. He's a chiropractor here in Kansas City, very, very experienced treater of concussions and as well as other injuries. He's helped me deal with my back issues throughout the years and helps me get back out there working out every day. So, Evan, let's define what a concussion is. Let's start with that. And you were explaining before our break about Eric Lindros getting one, but concussion basically is what, and then we'll get into the treatment of it.
So, if you look at the literature, it goes all over the place. But here's the bottom line: a concussion is an injury to the brain where if you banged your thumb with a hammer, it would get swollen and it would throb. If you bang your brain, it gets swollen and it throbs. Now, the problem is your brain is encased in a solid case of bone, so the swelling can't go anywhere. So wherever
that's a good way of describing it.
So wherever the swelling goes is where you're going to have symptoms. And so if you get hit helmet to helmet, like in football, you know, the crown of your head, your forehead to forehead hit, the first part is the brain's going to hit the front of your head, then the brain's going to hit your back of your head, and it might hit the front of the head again. So if the back of the head is where most of the swelling happens, then you can have balance problems. You can have speech problems. You can have some memory problems. And in most cases, most head trauma of any kind, you're going to have some short-term memory issues. I had a bad injury where I was riding my bike at a high speed. A guy ran a stop sign, plowed me over. My head bounced off the pavement three times. And that was about 4 years ago now. I have memory problems. You probably wouldn't notice them, but when I lecture, I don't have instant recall of, you know, literature I used to quote all the time that I knew like the back of my hand. And I have to think about it now to recall some of those things. So I'm about like 99% back. But somebody who has not followed me in my lecture series trying to teach doctors about concussions, they wouldn't know anything's wrong. But I know instantly that I still don't have full memory recovery. And we're talking 4 years later.
But that doesn't happen to everybody. That can happen to some people. It cannot happen to some people.
Correct. So there's four major areas of where symptoms can happen. So you can have physical symptoms. You can have headaches. You can have balance problems. You can have neck pain. You can have problems with your eyes, not being able to focus. You may have, you know, blurry vision. You may fall asleep when you read, or you may not even be able to read because the words are fuzzy on the page. You can have sleep problems. Sleep problems are huge in concussions because that's when our body repairs itself. So if you're not sleeping properly because you're hypervigilant, because your brain is like just fired up all the time, then you can't recover. Then, of course, there's the mental, emotional, cognitive function that gets altered. The kids can't perform in school properly, or they get headaches after being in school a couple of hours, or the noise in the school or the lights in the school affects them. We've had lots of kids where they've been sent back to play, and yet when they go back to school, they just can't handle it. And by noon, they're in the nurse's office. They got headaches. They're nauseous. They're lightheaded. And they got to be sent home because of all that intellectual stuff they have to handle.
So how do you identify and validate somebody has a concussion versus not?
That's a really great question. So if I could back that up. So when you get a concussion, should you go to the emergency room? And the answer is yes. If in doubt, go to the emergency room. If there's nobody there at the competition supervising healthcare. So what happens in the emergency room, and here is the big misnomer, is that emergency rooms are there to determine, is this a life or death ominous threatened problem? Is there internal bleeding in the brain? Is there something serious going on here? The good news is 95% of the time or higher, that's not the case. So it doesn't happen. So that's problem number one is just because you go to ER and they say you're okay doesn't mean you're okay.
Okay, so if that's the case, what do you do?
Okay, so then there's the next group of things. And actually, we're going to do a webinar in a couple of weeks on August 17th where we're going to coach people how to do a few tests at home that you can start to figure out. So, for example, you can't fake your balance. So if you just stand there with your feet together, close your eyes, you should be able to stand still for 20 seconds without moving. There's a bunch of other tests that should be done, but that's a real simple one. If you have
so what you're saying is if someone can't do that, then they very well may have a concussion.
Well, their balance mechanism could be altered. And so then some more sophisticated balance tests should be done. You can't fake your blood pressure. So one of the things that happens when you get hit in your head, your ability of your brain to control your blood pressure gets altered. So simply wherever your head goes, your blood pressure should go. So if your head goes down like you lay down, your blood pressure should go down. If you stand up, even if you're sitting, your blood pressure should go up a little bit. So if you got a blood pressure cuff at home, your child's had a concussion, and again, your head doesn't have to hit anything, take their blood pressure, but take it three ways. Take it sitting first, then have them lay down, take the blood pressure laying down, and then have them stand up. So when they go from sitting to laying down, that first number should drop about 8 to 10 points. And then when they go from laying down to standing, that first number should go up about 8 to 10 points. So if they, and here's what happens a lot in concussions. When they lay down, their blood pressure goes up instead of going down. And then when they go from laying to standing, their blood pressure drops instead of increases. And so they get a little dizzy or lightheaded. And so they got to hang on for a second or two, you know, before they take a step because they might fall. And so that's something easy that you can do at home. It's not a ominous life-threatening thing, but it's just a little red flag that says, okay, something is off here and you need a little more evaluation.
So one of the things I hear from a lot of people, oh, you just get a concussion from playing football. You can get a concussion from doing anything, obviously, and any sport. I know when it comes to sports, I've noticed swimmers who've, instead of turning, they'll crash into the wall. I've seen volleyball players who've fallen down and hit their heads on the court. I mean, you hear all kinds of things like this. So anybody can get a concussion. And it doesn't just have to be an athlete. It could be anybody.
Absolutely. We in our clinic, we actually see more patients that are non-athletes. We had a patient come in last week. Mom was nursing her baby, right? She's holding a baby, and then the phone rings. So she's still nursing the baby. She picks up the phone, and then all of a sudden the baby lunges off her breast, and so she's got a choice. Okay, do I deal with the phone or deal with the baby? Obviously, she deals with the baby. Well, she missed the baby. She fell back, hit her head on the countertop in the kitchen, and then she's got a massive headache, and then the next thing you know, she's dizzy, she's lightheaded. So a lot of things like that happen. We have, you know, our aging population. Get up in the middle of the night because they got to go to the bathroom. Well, a lot of patients will slip and fall and hit their heads. So more concussions happen because of those kind of things than actually in sports. Another great area where concussions happen is in car accidents. If you get a whiplash injury, again, your head doesn't have to hit anything, but your brain gets sloshed around inside your head. And when it hits the bones on the inside, again, it's like hitting your thumb with a hammer. It's going to get swollen. And wherever that swelling happens is where you're going to have symptoms.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Joining me today is Dr. Evan Mladenov. He's a chiropractor here in Kansas City with tremendous experience dealing with concussions, dealing with athletes, dealing with people. And we're talking about concussions, what causes them. And when we come back from our next break, we're going to talk about some of the symptoms and how to treat it and how you get over it and eventually move on from it. Because let's face it, concussions are not just in sports, they're in life, and everybody can get them. So this is something I think is an important show for us to discuss. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, good. Now let's get into identifying. You've sort of pretty much identified symptoms. Let's go from identifying symptoms to let's start talking about treating. Okay. And then we'll get into the treatment. Then we'll get into the stuff about when you can go back and play and all that type of stuff. And is that good? Are we on the right?
Yeah, no, okay. That's good. Actually, you know what? If you do it the other way, if you just say, you know, what's the first thing parents want to know when their child's had a concussion?
Okay.
Okay, and then the first thing they want to know is, okay, when can I play?
Okay.
Okay. And then that'll kind of lead us down a path of getting a lot of stuff in quick.
Hello again, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. I'm here every week talking about the mental side of sports, and today I'm having a fascinating interview with Dr. Evan Mladenov. He is a chiropractor here in Kansas City. I've known him for years and years and has treated me for back issues and other issues, does a great job, very professional, and a man with tremendous experience in this as an athlete as well as a chiropractor, working with the Canadian Olympic team years ago and also with Kansas City Chiefs and other professional teams around the country. And so, Evan, what's the first question you're asked by a parent if they bring their kid in for treatment? A, do I have a concussion? And then what else are they going to ask you?
That's a really great question. So the first thing the athlete wants to know, and it doesn't matter if it's a 10-year-old or a Kansas City Chiefs professional athlete, first thing they want to know is, Doc, when can I play? And you'll see this on the sidelines in games too.
Okay, one sec. Why is that the first question people ask so much? What do you think?
Okay, so there's two parts of that. The first is back up before all this awareness of concussions now over the past 5 years anyway, is the athletes want to play. They will push themselves to play. They will ask their bodies to do bizarre things, and they don't care about the adverse effects after. So now with all the information we have about concussions now, they know that there's going to be protocols in place that will determine when they can go back to play. So they're going to minimize things so they can go back and play. Now, parents have a little bit different view. Some parents, and I was asked this as late as last week or early as the last week, is, you know, the parents say, when am I going to get my son back? When am I going to get my daughter back? Because this is not my son. You know, his sleeping habits have changed. I can't have a conversation with my son. He can't stay all day at school. He can't get his schoolwork done. Never mind being able to get back to us. When am I going to get my child back? So those are the two biggest questions. When can I play? Or when can my child play? Or when am I going to get my child back like he was before this trauma happened?
So how do you answer that? Because that's a great question to ask. And how you answer that probably can cause more anxiety or ease people's concerns.
Absolutely. So what we've done is we've created this metric where it looks like a bullseye. And the bullseye is a graphic representation of all the examinations we do on the patient. And a lot of it is technology that we actually get a score. So, for example, one of the things that happens to the brain is you can have a disruption of the blood supply to your brain. There's not as much blood flow to your brain, so your brain needs blood flow, it needs oxygen, and it needs fuel. So if it's not getting enough blood flow there, that's a problem. So we create this metric. So picture this bullseye. You got a red circle on the outside, then a yellow circle, then a green circle, and then the black bullseye. And so there's about 20 tests we have on there with the technology we use. So, for example, if their arterial elasticity, how their arteries work, is in an abnormal range, let's say it's in the red range, which it oftentimes is after a concussion, it's easy to see, hey, listen, you have, you know, 8 of these 20 different markers out of the normal zone. So when all those parameters are back in that green zone in the bullseye, then we know you can go back and play. And so the things we're going to examine in detail with computerized testing is your blood supply to the brain. What's your balance doing? What's your head on neck position doing? What are your eyes doing? When your eyes move, your brain controls the movement of the eyes. So one of the first signs of a concussion is that your eyes don't work together.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you is, how do you know you have one, okay, from a physical perspective in terms of looking at somebody? Somebody may have one and not realize they have one. So what would be some of the obvious physical symptoms that you see?
That's an excellent question, because a lot of times what happens is if you have no symptoms, therefore you're healthy. And that's the worst thing you could do with a concussion. So that's why you're going to do, like we talked about, take 3 blood pressures. If your blood pressures are off, okay, you might not have any symptoms until you go from laying down to standing up. You may not have any signs of being dizzy or lightheaded or balance problems, but if you stand with your feet together, close your eyes, can you stand up straight for 20 seconds without moving? So tests are designed to determine how close to normal you are, so you can have symptoms without being tested properly, or you can have no symptoms and still have a concussion. So one of my favorite studies, this was done by Major League Baseball, I think in 2015, where they took two groups. They took a group of players that had concussions and then had a group of players that had, they were on the DL because of bereavement. So a family member died or something. They were given time off to play.
Some kind of emotional, psychological issue.
Right, but it wasn't a physical. So they compared these two groups. And what they found was when the players went back, the concussed group, so I'm going to just pull up something here to make sure I get this right for your listeners. And quite simply, what happens is, now if you're a baseball fan, you'll understand this acutely, but what would happen if you have a significant decrease in your batting average? What would happen if you had a decrease based on balls percentage? What if you had a decreased slugging percentage? So all these
you'll get overly stressed out too.
Well, you're a AAA baseball player now instead of a, you know, multi-million dollar successful major leaguer, but they had no symptoms. So the question is, what did they measure? And if symptoms is the only thing you're measuring for a concussion, then you're not going to get back to the way you were before. And so we're starting to see this. So that's where we focused our attention on is, okay, how do we get the player back to full function and not be limited by symptoms? Because symptoms can steer you wrong all the time. So a couple of things that we do that way with some computerized testing that then guide us. So, for example, treatment may be some eye exercises. If your eyes don't work together, then that sends confusing information to your brain, and so then that will prolong things. You may have a neck problem. So a lot of patients, high majority of patients, will have neck pain after a concussion, so they may need some care, some structural physical care for their neck. Other patients, they may have emotional symptoms. They may have trouble, you know, focusing on school, and that's where we've sent you quite a few patients, as you have to us, to make sure we get the emotional part under control too.
Let's talk about that for a moment. So from a psychological / emotional perspective, it can be really frustrating when you can't play your sport, especially if you're a high school athlete or a younger athlete with dreams of maybe playing past high school. You worry when you get an injury like this, what's going to happen to me when I, you know, everybody wants to come back sooner than they should. Everybody wants to rush it back. So how do you deal with that component of it from the psychological, emotional perspective?
There are three different areas that we need to deal with, and that is, okay, what steps have to happen for an athlete or anyone to return to participation or return to play?
Or just return to their normal life, per se, whatever it might be.
Whatever it might be, but there's also a return to learn. So schools, and the curious thing is there's only 8 states in the country that have laws in place for what should happen for kids to return to learn, or the intellectual return to school. There's almost no criteria for return to drive. So, you know, should a kid start to drive, or someone who has been in a car accident who has a concussion, should they be allowed to drive after the car accident? And hardly any physicians know about this. So there are certain criteria that have to happen to return to play, to return to school, to return to drive, to return to work. And actually, we'd be happy to send you a list of these criteria if you're not familiar with them. If you would like to, we're going to do a webinar. If I could just give a little promo here, Doc. If you, August 17th, we're going to do a webinar specifically about some of these topics in a lot more detail. So if you just type the word concussion and type it to 844-539-1326. We'll send you some information about the webinar. We'll send you the criteria about what do you have to do to return to play, what do you have to do to return to learn, what do you have to do to return to drive, because, you know, if you're a physician or your caregiver who is guiding you or your child to return to full participation in all aspects of their life is not aware of these criteria, you're going to come back too soon. And so the first thing that happens is you can have no symptoms, but if you start to work out and then you start to get symptoms, guess what? You've done too much, and you got to cut back. So you need someone guiding you in those return to play, return to work facilities to get you back without then recreating the injury.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. My guest today is Dr. Evan Mladenov. He's one of the top chiropractors in the country. We're talking about concussions, how you identify them, how you deal with it, how you treat it, how you move on from it. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, so this last segment, where would you like to go with it?
If we just talk a little bit about examination, how long does it take to get better? That's a good.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
we'll talk about treatment and then recognizing that you're.
Yep.
That you're okay. Hello again, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. And my guest today is Dr. Evan Mladenov. He is a chiropractor here in the Kansas City area, one of the top chiropractors I've ever met. Has worked with athletes at all levels, all the way from youth sports up to the Olympics. He was with the Canadian Olympic team for a while. He was with the Kansas City Chiefs for a while. He is also my doctor and has treated me. So I thought it would be great to have him on as schools are starting to open up. And one of the things that happens with schools, with sports, is concussions, and not just sports, but life in general. And so one of the things we're going to get at today in this last segment is treatment of concussions and then how to move on from there. So what is the treatment involved with when you have somebody who comes in that has a concussion or thinks they do?
That's a really great question. We use a multifaceted approach. So treatment could involve doing something for the brain itself. So number one, you got to get rid of any inflammation in the brain. We can use cold laser to do that. You may need to deal with, there are 9 metabolic or chemical pathways that can be upset when you have a concussion. So we may need to do some nutritional things to make some things work a little bit more or get rid of some things like you've heard of some of these weird names like NF-kappa beta and interleukin 6 or the cytokine storm. Basically, gasoline's been thrown on the fire and there's a huge inflammation going on in the brain. Then we might need to do some structural care on the neck. We might need to do some acupuncture. There's been a tremendous amount of research that shows how acupuncture helps in dealing with head trauma. We also have a couple of innovative things in our clinic that not too many clinics in the country have, and even less in Kansas City have. We have a hyperbaric oxygen chamber that we oftentimes put patients in. And then we have an eye tracking system that will give you eye exercises. So you might need some eye exercise at home. So we do a multifaceted approach. And so here's one of the myths, Doc, and that is, okay, most of your listeners have probably heard say, oh, well, you know, a concussion will get better in about 7 to 10 days. Well, you know, who came up with this idea? And the answer is when you start looking at the research, the British Medical Journal says, you know, children, it takes an average of 23 days. Adults, an average of 19 days. The United States Air Force Academy did a study on all of their cadets who got a concussion. They didn't care how it happened. Was it in football? Was it in an airplane? Or was it jumping out of an airplane with a parachute attached to you? They found that the average return to play was 29.4 days. So there's been a tremendous amount of studies. Again, we're going to talk about some of those in our webinar in a week or so. But the average return to play is 29.4 days.
So you're talking about a month.
It's at least a month.
And that's the average.
That's the average.
I know I worked with a professional soccer player years ago. He and a teammate got concussed on successive plays, both on headers, where they both were heading the ball and the opponent had hit their head. The particular guy that I saw, it took almost 5 months before he came back and played. His teammate was back the next week. And so, that's basically, Evan, because there's no two concussions that are the same.
10,000%. Right? If you've seen one concussion, you've seen one concussion. They're never the same.
That's the great statement I've heard many times. When you've seen one because they're all different.
Yeah, exactly. And to that point, it's like it goes back to what is your caregiver measuring? So very few of them will examine the brainwaves. So one of the things that we do, the patient has a swimming cap on, and there's electrodes in the swimming cap that sense your brainwaves. There are, you know, we measure 20 different spots in the brain, the electrical activity of your brainwaves, and you have 5 different brainwaves. And so what are those brainwaves doing? And specific patterns in specific parts of the head will show problems. So then one of the unique treatment things we do is something called neurofeedback, where it actually reprograms those brainwaves to work properly. And so that's a tremendous thing that changes brain function and normalizes brain function.
So treatment then, there are a variety of different things you can do to treat concussions. The average, you're saying, is usually the average. is 30 days for a lot of people to be able to come back from it, where you're able to feel pretty much be back to normal.
Correct.
Some people, it could be sooner, but a lot of people could be a lot longer.
Okay, so now all those studies are on high-performance athletes. Okay, but again, what was measured? So there's been studies that have shown, for example, that a year after a concussion, patient has no symptoms, but they didn't return to their normal performance level in sports. They had, when they measured their brainwaves were still off a year later. So
basically, from that perspective, the long-term effects and consequences can be what?
Well, the devastating effects are, we've heard about this with that movie Concussion and the NFL story of CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. So if you hear about that, those words, chronic traumatic encephalopathy or CTE, it's a post-mortem diagnosis. The patient has to be dead for them to get that diagnosis. But basically what that is inflammation in the brain is so great that it causes the brain physically to shrink. It shrinks in size. So, again, do a quick search on NFL concussions, and you'll see there was a story in Life magazine about 2 years ago, just after that movie came out, where the front of the magazine showed 100 brains, and then you could link onto those, and basically it showed how much each brain had shrank from the head trauma. And when you look at those, no two brains were the same of where they shrank and how much they shrank.
Okay, let me ask this question. When someone gets concussed, can they pretty much come back and be normal, have a normal life again and be fine, or are they going to have long-term effects that will prohibit them from really being who they were before?
The answer is yes and yes. So, yes, you can return to a full, normal, productive lifestyle. Will you ever get back to what you were like before? And the question is, how did you take care of yourself? So I know that my long-term memory recall is not as sharp as it used to be. And I know when I'm off, but somebody looking at me wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So, how do you look? So an athlete who has high expectations of himself will know when he's off 1%. So does that mean he didn't return to normal? And the answer is, to him, he didn't return to normal, but to everybody else, it's like he's back like there was never anything wrong. So, what prism do you look through at yourself? What expectations do you have of yourself will determine that. I don't worry about that. I don't linger on that. I struggled with it emotionally for a long time where I couldn't remember stuff when I was working on a patient. And finally, my son, Dr. Chip, who you've had on the show a few times, he said, if you don't remember, that's okay. You're getting frustrated. You're getting angry. It's okay that you didn't remember. Just ask me or just look it up.
And obviously people can get multiple concussions. Can you feel fine again like you were before?
Yes, absolutely. Can you be symptom-free? Yes. So now here's part of the problem is that we see a lot of patients that, they go to ER, they get cleared, but they are given drugs to deal with symptoms. Well, the drugs will get rid of the symptoms, but if they still have the blood pressure problems, if they still have balance problems.
So the long term problems can be physical mostly that could affect your
psychological. But the point is just the absence, getting rid of symptoms is not the only answer to return you to normal. Because if you stand up and you get dizzy.
That's important to know.
If you stand up, you get dizzy and lightheaded, it's like, okay, you could fall over and hit yourself again. If you turn your head fast and you get dizzy or lightheaded and you're driving, and you could cause an accident, right? So the absence of symptoms does not fully mean you've recovered from a concussion. So you need to have some other kind of normal. Here's a good example, Doc. If you have a little low air pressure in your front left tire of your car, can you drive your car? And the answer is, heck yeah. And you can oversteer the car, but if you're going slow, you let go of the steering wheel, the car is going to veer off to the left side because of the low air pressure in the car. But you can still overdrive it. So your body's the same way. You got to look at physiological what's going on and not just getting rid of symptoms.
So our last minute here, what would you suggest to people who feel they've had a concussion? What should they do? Where should they go?
Okay, so that's a great question. So the first thing is, are you continuing to have symptoms? And then the second is, what kind of evaluation did you have? Did they examine your brainwaves? Did they do blood pressure studies? Did they examine your eyes? And if they didn't do any of those things, then you need to get to a clinic where they do those physiological functional tests. And we'd be happy to do that And again, we're doing a webinar in a couple of days that would be perfect, that you could get a lot more information. So if you just type in the word concussion and text it to 844-539-1326. We're doing that webinar on August the 17th. I think it's 7 p.m.
Okay, so our shows are podcasted all over, and people can listen to it in 6 months. If they want to get this information down the road, how can they reach you?
Okay, so if they need evaluation concussion, that someone's still having symptoms, they can give our clinic a call at 913-491-1071. Or we've got all kinds of information on our website. So www.maladnoffclinickkc.com. We'd be happy to help you.
And if you're out of the Kansas City area listening somewhere else, get to an emergency room, get somewhere where you can get evaluated, make sure you're okay, and follow up with that.
Correct. Make sure there's no life-threatening problem. Make sure there's no internal bleeding in the head. Once you've got that done, then you need to evaluate physiological functions.
Evan, thanks again for being on. Great information. It's going to help a lot of people. I appreciate it. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Our shows are podcasted all over. You can follow me on Twitter at @DRJSportsPsych. Give me a call at 816-561-5556. Perfect. That was
awesome.
That goes so damn fast.
I know. It was like, damn. It's like.
Here. You want this back?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Let me get him to come in here and turn it on.
All righty. Excellent. Now you can go get some dimpled balls.
Yeah.
I can go chase some wind.
Marco. Can you make sure it recorded?
Yeah.